Look in my eyes for my mind state. I'm on the grind 25A. Money on my mind, that's how I play. If you got it now, this what I say.
Back with another one, and of course we gotta do this like we do every episode. What episode are we on?
26.
All right, episode 26. Because I never know, I can't keep track. Don't touch my mic. Is it better on camera now? Sorry. What's up, everybody? Episode 26 of the Swerve City Podcast. It's Swerve, my TZ over here, and we got the lovely guest of Ruby Riot MVP over here. Say what's up to everybody.
Hi.
Man, that's the introduction I get. Just and we
you got a Videotron. What more can I give?
I mean a build up, a proper. Come on, man.
Right, you the mic man. You the hype man on this one.
Look at he said, that's off to you.
You the
hype. This is why he's who he is, and you know, I'm just like, oh, that was good. Hi.
I'm just happy
to be here.
Let me see how I can do this.
All right. Yep.
All right. We have across from us right now a man who is not only a legend. He is a staple for us in the African American community, for the wrestling community, for what he has done. This man has been entertaining me on television, been a wrestling fan a long time. This man came out, I'm coming, came out with the classic entrance, has been in some of the most legendary rivalries you've seen. This man has been holding it down for us for what, 10 plus, 15 plus in the game. I'd like to introduce to you the one, the only, Mr. MVP. Let's make some noise for MVP in the build. Let's make some noise, man.
See, that's what I'm talking about, man. I would do that for you. I would do that for you.
Definitely would.
I would do that for you.
But I also wouldn't have forgot to mention that he's also one of the longest reigning United States champions in WWE's history.
Of all time. I think top five in history. I mean, I'm up there with Rick Rude and Lex. You know, like, you know, 343 days.
That's heavy.
Trying to tell Apollo, man.
That's heavy, man. You try to teach him, man.
Trying to give him the game,
I mean,
man.
He learned.
If he ain't gonna listen, I know somebody who will.
And somebody goes who raps, who listens too.
Well, you know what? All BS aside, that's one thing I can out the gate compliment you on is your aptitude. Because a lot of young dudes will say, "Hey, did you watch my match? You know, do you have some feedback for me?" Or they'll ask for input because it's the right thing to do because it's expected. So they ain't really trying to hear what you say, right. You know. As long as it is
beneficial, or not even beneficial,
congratulatory or celebratory, like, oh, this was great. But if you say, hey, man, this wasn't, whatever the case may be, one thing you've always been good about is your aptitude. And if you come and you ask a question and you get a response, you see that. I've seen it. I've seen your growth. I've seen your maturity. And I've seen where you'll ask and you'll get some feedback and you'll, okay. And then later on, that was discussed is put into play. And what I try to explain to people, it's all in the details, man. A lot of guys can do awesome off moves and shit, but it's the details. It's those little things in between. And that's where you're coming into your own as you start to break out. It's those little details. So
I appreciate you, man.
Your aptitude, man.
Seriously. Yeah. I don't even know who's watching anymore. Mm-hmm. I just do. And I definitely take in a lot of the stuff. Like, I never also make the same mistake twice. I try not to.
That's the aptitude I'm talking about.
Sometimes it happens.
You don't mean for it to, obviously.
Right. Like, you don't try to make that. Like, right. But even if you do make that mistake, you should know, like, after I did it again.
Yep.
I'll get it next time. So, that's what's helped me, like, move forward. Mm-hmm. And especially without your guidance, a lot of, like, I think so, especially what I'm seeing you do now on television is blowing my mind. And now seeing you backstage so with you, seeing where he's boom, 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 everywhere. here, this TV, this, there. I'm like, I gotta congratulate this man. I had to send him a text the other night. Said like, yo,
yeah,
I truly admire everything that you're doing. Mm-hmm. Like, I would love to, at the age and like for future purposes, I would love to be in the position to where you are right now. You know, that, and that's not too many of us that can say that. they can even do half of that, right. and they're prime. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
I can safely say that seeing all of the different roles that you've played, none of them are sacrificed from the other. Like, you are all in all parts of what you're doing. And so, like, when you see, like, you're every time, like, equally. You know, yeah, it's all equal and nothing's like, it's all great, like everything that you're doing. Man, I'm not just saying that because I'm sitting next to you.
You just saying that because I put you over on commentary all the time.
He says nice things about me.
That's flattering. Thanks a lot, yeah. Man. That means a lot. And you know what? Just to, at this stage of the game, to be back in the game like I am, I never planned on going back to WWE. Right. I had no intention of ever going back.
We're going to get into that in a second, man. We're going to get into that.
To be here and doing what I'm doing now, and I'm having a blast, man.
Hold on to that, though, because we're going to get into that. But first, we got to thank Around Seattle, our sponsor for the podcast. Without him, none of this would be possible. You know, he got the banner. He got the microphone. He got the lights. He got the curtains. And he is still supporting us from afar. Absolutely. Even throughout this, like, tough times going on around the world with the pandemic and everything. Well, Seattle, we appreciate you. Thank you for everything you're doing and supporting us, even from all the way out of Seattle. And you got to subscribe to the podcast.
Where can they watch it?
YouTube.com/SwerveCityPodcast. So graphics coming back up soon. But you guys can check that out at YouTube.com/SwerveCityPodcast. And if you guys want to know how to spell it, because you guys always ask me that, I'm the only one that gets this. That's how you spell it. See, there's one R. Not city. That's how you spell city, because you'd be surprised.
How many vowels in there?
And I see three. And podcast. PODCAST. Podcast.
There we go.
There we go.
Now, we're going to start this thing and get this rolling with Miss Ruby Riott over here.
What's up?
Longtime friends right here, man.
Oh, yeah.
And where do we start with this? Because I can't read your handwriting. For real.
Well, after 26 episodes, the truth finally comes out. So, you know, let's start this from where you're at now. Recently, you just came back from injury, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that could be debilitating to some people, depending mm-hmm. on what the injury is. You know, how much time it takes to come back. Because that's more mental than anything a lot of the times. Your body's going to recover, but it's just that physical, that mental grind to get back to that point. Tell us a little bit about the injury and your comeback to where you're at now.
So, for everybody who doesn't know, I had two torn labrums in both of my shoulders. I had to have 7 anchors put in this one and 8 in this one, and then had a bone chip removed from underneath.
Would you do, dive off a bridge or
something? No, apparently, according to my surgeon, I had both injuries for 10 years. So yeah, I got
that's
it.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah, they were from when I started. Like, I had originated the tear when I started, and then 10 years of wrestling happened, and they just progressively got worse and worse and worse and worse. Yeah. And I had the first surgery, and then 6 months later, I had the second surgery, and then I was out for a total of about 10 months total.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to say this woman worked for a number of years with 2 torn labrum. She didn't take off a month for turf toe. Okay? Just let's remind you. Right?
I did. Walking boot and all.
But that was like, that was the hard thing about like the mental part of all of it. Like shoulders were definitely tough rehab. It was, you know, like it was my first, I guess you could say, like, real injury. And it was something that, like, because I had dealt with it for so long, I kind of had a choice as to when I went and got it taken care of. Like, it's something that you can progress. It's not like an immediate, like, if you tear your ACL or whatever, like an immediate thing that you have to have fixed right away. It's mm-hmm. something that, like, you can know about. You just kind of have to pick the time, which, because the time wasn't chosen for me, the time was never right. Like, I was like, oh, I got this to do. Oh, I got this to do. This can wait. Like, my shoulders can wait. My shoulders can wait. And I put it off and I put it off and I put it off to a point to where, like, I could barely work out. I noticed it the most in the gym when I tried to do any, like, wide grip bench press. Like, my shoulders would pop out of place.
Sacrifice something.
Yeah. And, like, a lot of stuff in the ring, like, I worked around it, you know, for a number of years. And It was a tough 10 months. I was home alone a lot and mentally, I think it was, I had to like go down to like the deepest parts of like me and like here, and like I had to actually like seek out and get some help. I've just recently become more open about this, because I think this is something, like, mental health is definitely something that I feel like, because we don't talk about it a lot, people think that, you know, any kind of mental illness or disorder is wrong or is bad. So I like to be open with it. I have adult ADHD, I have anxiety, and I sometimes suffer from depression. And so like that kind of recognizing that and like being like, okay, this is what I have now. What am I going to do? Like, got to see a therapist. And so I was doing like my rehab for my physical therapy, but I was doing my mental therapy as well.
That's a muscle too.
I came back and I felt better. I felt good about, you know, where I was and how I felt physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, however you like want to say it. But like it was definitely something that I felt like needed to happen in my career for me to get better in all aspects of my career. So.
Wow. So would you say that during, who would you say that during this time was like your biggest support system?
Oh man. My biggest support system, I feel like, is always and will always be my dad. My dad's my best friend in the whole world. He's the coolest dude.
Shout out to dad.
Yeah, man. Happy belated Father's Day. Father's Day.
Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Especially fathers of daughters.
Yeah.
We're especially.
Two.
Especially one. Fathers of daughters.
A daughter. I'm sorry. I know.
Okay.
Yeah, he's put up with a lot from me, but and he's not always supported wrestling. It was never his first choice for me.
As a father to a daughter, I get it.
Yeah, I can understand it. I can understand it.
And first, your daughter comes and her hair is green and she's tatted up and she's straight punk rock, and you're like,
first off, your pants legs ain't even. What's going on out there?
What's with the plaid and the chains?
Yeah, what's going on?
And then you want to be a pro wrestler on top of it.
Yeah. I dropped out of college to do it.
Oh, yeah. How was that news to him? I bet he was devastated.
He had a hard time with it. He's still like that, bless his heart. Like, even after all of it, after everything, like he's, you know, he loved, I used to have like hair down to here that was light brown and spiral curls. And it was like this beautiful, just like when I was a little girl. And that's what he sees me. Yeah. And then his daughter shows up covered in tattoos. Like, he asks him about my gauges all the time. He's like, oh, God, what did you do here?
Like,
did
the guy get any bigger?
Yeah. It's every time, like, do you got to get any more? Like, so my first tattoo, one of the reasons I got my first tattoo, it was in dedication to him. So he wouldn't be as mad.
I see what you did there.
Is that the proverbial backhanded compliment?
Yeah, essentially.
So he wouldn't be as mad. I'm like, I got this. It's for you. It's the song lyrics from What a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong. He used to sing that to me when I was a baby.
Ooh.
So that's our song or whatever. So I got like the lyrics. I'm like, Dad, this is for you. Like this. And it's a terribly drawn. I got it when I was 17. Like, so he was pissed, but he was like, you know, I'll say it. But then I just started. I was like, okay, there's my gateway. And just covered myself.
He's like, I didn't say that.
Yeah.
So I say to myself, what a wonderful world.
That was good.
MVP over here. Like,
was that the tag?
Yeah.
Essentially, hey. Like, since we're doing this thing. Yeah. Any serious injuries you ever dealt with in your career?
Man, I've been incredibly fortunate throughout my career.
Because I was trying to think. I'm like, I don't ever remember seeing him miss time.
I've never had any injuries that prevented me from hitting the ring. Early in my career, I got clotheslined across the face and had my orbital crack. That sucked pretty bad. That was probably the worst. I mean, I've had all the bumps and bruises that we get, the sprains, the dislocations, you know, but fortunately nothing I couldn't tape up, wrap up, and work around, as we do, right? So, no, I've been fortunate in that regard.
Well, thank goodness, man. Like, so who's some athletes that inspired you getting into pro wrestling? Or that even after you started, got to WWE doing all your thing, that people, the athletes that continue to inspire you moving forward in that.
Oh, wow. Man, that's a list, man.
Yeah. Because, like, the whole portrayal of the MVP character is that he's a pro. He's a pro sports athlete.
Yeah.
So I'm like, where did you pull these inspirations from?
The inspiration for the actual MVP character, like sometimes I see people refer to Wikipedia. Wikipedia is wrong. It's always wrong.
Yeah. It always changes.
It was based on
people can change it. Anybody can.
Yeah, anybody can put whatever they want. Yeah, somebody put on there one time that I attacked Triple H with a screwdriver or something.
Yes, you did.
Remember that time when that happened? Yeah,
I was there.
That I didn't go to jail for?
Yeah. MVP got webbed feet.
Yeah, right.
I'm 5'8". Right. I swear, for a while I was 5'8". On the chair,
oh, really?
Maybe. Yeah,
you listed
chair.
At 5'8".
I was
5'9".
I was 5'9" on there before.
I'm 5'3". So we are clear.
Wikipedia listed something about that MVP was based on Rod Tidwell and you know. But that's not true. Rod Tidwell is pretty much what MVP was. All I did was look at the environment, and I had a tryout. I had a couple tryouts with WWE, and Johnny Ace told me, we like you. We don't have anything for you. Come up with something that we don't already have that you can do. And I used to work on South Beach, and I used to do bodyguard work, and I used to bounce. And I would see these pro athletes come to the club like the world owed them something, you know. And man, I remember I saw Shaq, I saw Dr. J, I saw Barry Sanders, I saw like first ballot, true definition legendary Hall of Famers. Nice, humble, cordial, and respectful. And then you see like the Dolphins' third round draft pick shows up with an entourage.
What up? Yeah.
Like, what you mean I can't get in with shorts? Like, dude, who are you, man? You know, I know you can't get in with shorts, man. Get out of here.
Bro, you want undrafted, man.
So that a guy at the door be like, yeah, you, come on.
Yeah,
and you gotta stop him at the door.
Yeah.
Like,
no, man, you can't let him. Who are you, man? Man, it's my party, you know. So
you
I think
at the game Sunday.
Yeah. I knew you at the game.
You
were
that day.
But, you know, around with the rise of SportsCenter, you know, you had all of these pro athletes that every week you turn on SportsCenter, there's some pro athlete that's saying or doing something stupid. You
get
know?
That attention.
Like, I remember I actually did a promo one time at Deep South when developmental.
Yes,
when
sir.
I borrowed from Allen Iverson. Like, practice?
Yeah.
Are we really talking about practice? So I took inspiration from everything that was wrong with pro sports, all the pompous, self-absorbed pro athletes, and I rolled that into one character, and I presented it to them, and they went, we like that. Okay, let's do some business. So that's where that's what inspired MVP.
What clicked with me with the character, like, first off, was like, the character never lost. Even if you lost, you never lost. You were LeVar Ball way beforehand. They're like, never lost.
I've never lost.
Like, he clearly lost this match, but the promo was like, what, you see my game? You see how I was moving out there? Well, I'm the best. I'm the highest paid athlete that acquired from SmackDown. I'm like,
never lost.
He's never lost. And everybody hates the guy that's always winning. Even if you, even like the delusional ones that's like, psh, I don't know what game you were watching. I scored 40 points. You lost by 30, but I scored 40 points.
Absolutely.
Like, you lost.
Dude, I had a dude at a restaurant one time. It was the funniest thing. Like, he was one of those, it's still real to me, damn it. You know?
You got to love them.
So he made some slick remark as I was, and I was actually cashing out. And he made a slick remark about me getting beat by somebody. And I'm like, beat by who? Nah, that wasn't me. No, I saw it. I watched you. You didn't watch me. Yep. Not me. In less than 5 minutes, I had this dude standing at the restaurant screaming at the top of his, I saw you. You lost. I saw. You're telling me I didn't see it. And I'm just as calm as could be. Not me. It wasn't me. And people are looking, and this guy's all excited. And I'm like, hey, listen, man, you need to do something with all that anger, man, and maybe get your eyes checked because I didn't lose. And I walked out, this dude screaming, no, but he's lying. He's lying. I saw it.
Right.
And he's worked up. And I'm like, okay, he'll be boring me from now on.
So, but then he's also going to like watch everything on like the next match. He'll be like, no, he's going to lose.
Yeah.
He's going to lose. Yep.
But, you know, it's funny how times have changed, though. Like, once I got into the WWE, my first go around, I got called into the office for being a heel in public. Like, no, you're not a heel. You're a superstar. You're a television star. Mm-hmm. So I came in on that cusp where we stopped.
That's Deep South, though.
Right, yeah. At Deep South, we were still, hey, when you're out of here in the neighborhood, you're still in character, sell the character. But once you get called up, it's like, nah, at that point, you're a TV star. Just don't be mean to people.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a few times when, you know, I got called in the office and I had to have that conversation because I was mean to people. If I was at a restaurant, you came for an autograph, I was, nah, man, get out of here. Don't disturb me while I'm eating, man. What's wrong with you, man? You know, people like, oh, I can't believe it. I was at the Waffle House one time with Truth in North Carolina after a show. And this little kid came over and his people were sitting right behind us, a black family. And the little boy came over and said, remember he was chewing, he was, can I have your autograph? I went, that's how you ask? I said, you're from Romney, man. Your parents should have taught you some manners. That's not how you ask for anything. You're rude and disrespectful. Beat it. I heard from the table, oh, no, he did just, what? And then I heard one of the girls at the table say, ooh, I wish Undertaker walked in here right now. But the cool part of that is now at this stage, all these years later, when I run into, because I'm 46 now. So if I run into a dude that was watching me when he was in his teens, he's a grown-ass man, you know, and I'm not, you know, that disconnect. So when the dude comes and like, yo, man, I was watching you when I was a kid. Yo, I used to hate you, man. Oh, I hated you. And every now and again, I run into somebody that goes, yo, I asked you for an autograph at a show one time. You tore my poster up and you walked away. I hated you, but years later, I was like, oh, man, that was awesome, man.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, cool, man. You know, so that's a cool thing.
Memories, man. I love that.
That's what we do. We create memories for people, right? I mean, you got your memories, specific memories from, oh, man, I remember that one time I went to the show and they did this. And then, you don't remember who won or lost.
No.
You just remember the show and what happened, you know, who made an impression and who didn't.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, going to that story, there's always a journey on your way up to, you know, to the mountaintop or whatever dream you want to accomplish. Tell us a little bit about what adversity did you go through to becoming a wrestler? What stories? Tell me a little bit like a story that you had that you went through something and it was a trying time, but you overcame it to get to your dream to where you're at now.
Oh, man. I the old broke, hungry indie wrestler story, you know, like I got a whole bunch of them.
Share ours, too. You know? Oh, yeah.
We got them, you know, trying to make it happen. I used to sell weed to support my wrestling habit. You know, like, I'd be on the road, and, I mean, at that point, I was working on top in Florida, and I was making $100, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I drove an expedition, so I'm going from Miami to Tampa to St. Pete to Orlando to Ocoee to all these, you know, areas. So I'm drinking gas, you know. So really, at this point, like, wrestling was an expensive habit, you know, a very expensive hobby. So I had a little thing where at certain shows it was worked out where, you know, you go over there, get your envelope, and then go back in the cut, see MVP, and get broke. Well, back then, Antonio Banks, you know, get broke off of what you smoking on for the night. And, okay, now I got enough to get a place to stay, get something to eat, and gas to get back home because wrestling wasn't paying the bills. So in terms of struggle...
You weren't doing the 8x10s and the t-shirts at the time.
No, not
at the
time.
That was expensive.
And that wasn't a really...
Bile.
Oh.
What?
Still clean.
What? Hey, man, that dude right there looks like he's ready to start singing for 112 or something.
He looked like he roast you at lunch, bro. Like, yo, Tonio, he don't want no problems.
Nah, but at that time, like... and. Me and Joe were talking about this. Yes. Like, we didn't have Twitter. We didn't have YouTube. Social media didn't exist yet. So, like, making a living on the indies, traveling on the indies wasn't really a thing. Like, yeah, I had that picture, Antonio. If I was lucky, if I sold two or three of them at a show, you know, for $5, maybe, you know. But there wasn't merch like that. So, you know, it was really, really a grind back then. And nobody was making any money. Everybody was. I had jobs where they would tell me, "Well, you got to work on Saturday." Okay, nope. I quit. See, yep. I told you when I took this job, I can't work Saturday. Well, you got to work this Saturday. Well, you got to find somebody to cover my spot. I'm out. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a common thing. You know, as far as any specific, our stories are the same. I don't have anything specific.
Right.
But I do have one story that I like to tell, and my buddy reminded me of it today. I used to work at City Furniture. And at the time, I was really working hard on trying to become a pro wrestler. I quit working on South Beach. I told my boy Sean Stanley, who was an indie wrestler, he was a manager in the warehouse at City Furniture. I'm like, yo, man, I got to get away from the beach, the bouncing. I just need a different scene for a while. So I got a gig unloading trucks at City Furniture, and that job absolutely sucked, man. It was terrible. But quickly, I got some Haitian guys, some Central American guys, and I would just kind of organize them. Look, we can do this quicker if we do it like this. So somebody recognized, like, oh, this guy's got leadership skills. So they told the warehouse manager, Javier, hey, you know, this guy, he might make a good supervisor. So Javier sees me and said, hey, I've been hearing good things about you. If you want to move up in this company, come see me sometime. I want to be a pro wrestler. Yeah. I don't want to work here, but I need bread. And I'm, you know, supervisors make pretty good money at this place. And
it's conflicting.
And the floor manager knew I was a wrestler, so he kind of looked out for me with weekends and, you know, scheduling and whatnot. So I went into the cafeteria and I saw Javier with his flunkies, his fellow floor managers. And I said, hey, Javier, I'd like to talk to you about, you know, moving up. And he said, well, what do you want to do with your life? And I said, well, I'm going to be a professional wrestler, but until that happens, you know, until Vince calls, you know, I can work here. And he, this is exactly what he did. He looked at his buddies and went, if Vince calls you to work for him, the Doors are going to call me to be their lead singer. And I went, okay, all right, that's cool, you know.
Well, toodaloo.
I got fired not too long after that, yeah. You know. But fast forward, I came back down to South Florida to do a CCW show, my old home indie. WWE approved for MVP to come to CCW. And my boy Sean, of course, he came to the show. And I brought an MVP. No, Sean actually brought the MVP action figure. And I signed it, Dear Javier, have the Doors called you yet? And Sean took that to work.
Bliss.
Oh. Love, karma at its finest.
Revenge is a dish best served.
But that's a good revenge though. Yeah. That's a positive. So some people try to take this revenge and throw it back in people's faces as a negative to downplay them. No, this is an uplifting one to say like, hey, thank you for inspiring me to make it here because.
Yeah. No, that one was a fuck you. No, I got no inspiration from him. That one was just a, hey, fuck you.
I was trying to babyface this one.
No. Like, no, no. Leave it what it is.
Yeah, all right. All right.
Fuck you, Javier.
So talked about your outlaw lifestyle for the moment.
Hi.
We've had a discussion.
Talk about outlaws.
We have a discussion when we were doing the photo shoot for the Black Craft clothing. You were sharing some stories about your outlaw ways.
I'm so excited about
this. I was waiting. I'm like, and yo, no. No offense to you. I wanted to get to this story
here. None taken. I want to get there too.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Let's talk about your run in with the law.
All right.
Miss Riot.
Set the scene.
Words. Wait, name wait. So fitting.
Right there.
You didn't rip a tag off a mattress, did you?
Worse.
There's something worse than that?
Ready for
that? That's fake. That's okay.
I'm about to paint a picture for y'all. So we're talking about, we talked about a lot of things, a lot of stories. Which one in particular are you?
I want
about?
All of them.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm gonna hit you.
We got time.
Give me her thing.
OCWA, which is, I believe, Outlaw or Outcast Wrestling Association.
Too many letters already.
Something like that. I don't, honestly, yeah, it's too much. It's too much to follow. Yeah. Elkhart, Indiana. I'm from Elkhart. Indiana. For those of you who don't know, some of the
watch some other interviews for that. You want to watch this interview, finest, this show for this.
The finest bad indies you can possibly imagine.
Did you say the finest bad indies?
Oh, yeah.
Sure cream of the did. Crop.
Elkhart, Indiana is about 45 minutes to a half hour away from like where my hometown is. So I took this show and this particular company, I walked in and I knew, you know, I was super early just trying to get any work that I could, anywhere that I could. And I walked in, and it's like a garage, like like a mechanic garage is where the show is. And there were like blankets, like pinned to the wall of like wolves. There was like wolf blankets on the wall. Pretty sure there was like a deer head.
Is that like to set the decor?
The decor. Right. Like they didn't want to do wallpaper. They just chose
blankets. That sounds like a recording studio.
So we recorded in the bag.
So we get there, and the promoter is this guy looks like he might be like on something, because like his eyes, he doesn't blink like ever, and is like he's just like running around a million miles a minute. He's like real thin guy, and he walks up to us, and first thing he asks. And this is how I know that this is a terrifying thing, is first thing he asks is, which one of y'all is a wrestler? He did not know the people he booked on the show. So people forgot. At one point, they were so astonished that somebody would ask this question that people forgot to raise their hands, because no one's ever been asked that
before. You were processing that.
Some of us had to raise the other one's hand, because you couldn't like believe that this man is asking this question.
Tell the wrestler forgotten from the popcorn vendors.
And so he
was the popcorn?
He had like put together the show or whatever, the lineup and everything, and he goes, y'all, I got an idea. And I don't even really know who he was talking to. He just came up to a group of people. And in this scenario, the way he set this up, he was about to blow our minds. And he was like, wanna do a show on the water. We're gonna put the wrestling ring on water jugs, and then y'all are gonna do your entrances on jet skis. And we're like, where's the crowd going to sit? They're like, they're going to be on the beach in beach chairs, but, you know, they'll see the action. You know, they'll see it coming. And I'm like, we're in Elkhart, Indiana. Where do you think we're going to do? I just couldn't wrap my head around the idea that he was telling us.
The ring starts floating away. Like,
There goes the match.
I'm reminded, don't lose your place, but this is a perfect. A long time ago, my buddy Bruno Sassy told this guy, this wannabe promoter, same thing. I got an idea. And his answer was classic. How can you have an idea when you don't even have a clue?
That's good. I wish I would have said that.
He wants to get a ring in
on pontoons to float.
I think his idea, like I want to say somebody asked him and somebody told him those big blue, like, jugs that
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Like 50-gallon jugs.
So, yeah, they want to put, like...
upgrading from the garage.
Yeah.
So we're going from the garage to the water.
Lakefront.
Which, by the way...
Lakefront.
There's no ocean within a long time, so it's going to be, like, Lake Michigan. Or, a really small man-made lake pond? Or something, or a pond somewhere. Or we're just going to be in a puddle, and that's just how it's going to work.
Bash with the
pile drivers on the pond. That's the name of the show. Right.
Let's go right now. But he was the most entertaining man I've ever met in my life. And he then, second most, excuse me, third most. Oh my God, I can't.
So
he was fourth.
You said something like that in the room full of entertainers.
I meant in a different kind of way.
Okay. We'll
Mike the goat fifth, you know?
Yes, I meant in a different kind of way. But he then tells a group of guys, actually, I'm going to backpedal to the announcer for the show. The announcer for the show started off the show with a prayer, which I'd never been to a wrestling show that did that before, but all right, more power to you.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You're going to go wrestle with these crocodiles.
But this prayer rhymed, and he goes, we're sitting here, just a bunch of mutts. Getting together to kick some butts, amen. And I was like, wow, okay, that's crazy. Okay, cool, hell yeah, let's do this. He reaches down, puts a cowboy hat on, and after this has all happened, he turns heel. I'm not even kidding. He goes, amen. Puts the cowboy hat on and goes, now all you sit down and shut up. And I was like, what just happened? it just like this whole time he did the national anthem, like all the whole nine yards had talked about.
Overcome by demons.
But the cowboy hat man did it to him, and it just
the hat was possessed.
It had to have been
like, oh,
he just like went into a trance or something. It was unbelievable, and I was like, okay,
we're here now.
We're doing it. Then the finale, and I watched this happen. So otherwise, I wouldn't believe it. I swear. Is he comes up to everybody and he tells everybody this spot that he wants to do. And he wants the heels to douse him with lighter fluid, set him on fire, and then gorilla press him onto the baby faces. This is the spot he wants to happen, I promise.
With lighter fluid.
With lighter fluid. Now, here's what actually happened.
Okay, here we go. Here we go.
In the theory. Heels sprinkle him with lighter fluid. It's not a lot. They don't douse him. They, like, sprinkle him. And they set him on fire. And he's on fire. And they
so
grab him.
Achieved.
They grabbed him. But because he's on fire, it probably hurt to grab him. So they just threw him. And there was no baby faces on the ground. Also, I'm pretty sure they were at concession stand. Like, they were at the concession stand getting, like, a hot dog. I'm like, yeah, we'll get you later. And nobody was there to put him out. This man is on fire on the ground. And no one was there to put him out. So the
I
heels.
Have no sympathy for just, stupidity.
The heels who just set him on fire had to get out of the ring and pat him down. I promise.
We didn't mean that, dog. Yes. Oops.
It was.
We just meant to heat things up.
Unbelievable. I've never seen anything like this. They also had. Pudding at the concession stand, and they spelled it P-U-T-T-I-N-G.
So let me ask you this. Do you think that that promoter had heat?
Excuse me.
Episode 26, everybody.
I don't think I've ever gotten to tell that story. Thank you so much.
So basically, Ruby set a promoter on fire because he didn't pay her.
That's what we'll do.
Let's go that route. But running with the law.
Oh, that one. Gotcha. Like we said we talked about so much that was.
Oh, take your time.
I thought you were going to jail for setting a man on fire.
You know what? In comparison to what I actually went to jail for. I wish it was for a different. Like, I went to jail twice for driving with a suspended license. I swear.
Okay, Tupac.
It's the worst thing. I didn't even know they arrested people for driving with a suspended license.
Yes, they were.
Yeah, it happened to me.
I didn't even know that I had a suspended license.
And that'll happen too.
I had my license suspended because I had insurance, but in the wrong state. I had it in the wrong state. They suspended my license. I didn't know it. I got pulled over.
Wait a minute. Are you going to get your teardrop tattooed right here?
I don't bail fresh out of jail, California.
So embarrassing.
I think it's great.
I got pulled over after an AAW show in Chicago.
If you said I got pulled over after an AA meeting, I would be like,
no, I know.
It's a bad week. Yeah. After witnessing the man on fire,
Well, that's why she ended up in the AA meeting.
Yeah,
yeah,
it was a lot of fluid.
Deal with this.
Afterwards, I started drinking the lighter fluid.
And then it just all went downhill from there. You're making my story so much like cooler than I actually
what it
am.
Is.
Yeah. I got pulled over and they told me I had a suspended license, and then she told me to put my hands in the car, pat me down, whole nine yards. But it was in Chicago, so in Chicago, like, they got bigger fish to fry than a girl driving with a suspended license. So I was there, I was out in no time at all.
So they took you to book it?
They booked me. And printed me, whole everything, whatever, and then I was out on bail, and then I had to go to court and all that stuff. I had to go to court and all that stuff. And then I paid a bunch of fines and I thought it was all squared away. And I thought my license was not suspended anymore. And then I was pulled over in Lebanon, Indiana, which is where nothing happens. So when they pulled me over, because I had a hubcap missing because my car was falling apart because I was an indie wrestler, obviously.
Gotta love those.
And, pulled over for a missing hubcap.
Yeah, well, they had, there was a suspected drunk driver who had hit a mailbox on that, like, and it was the same description as my car.
Oh, you fit the description.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I tell you.
As my
well,
car.
Now your rap career is gaining each sentence.
So she fit the description of the. She was driving a getaway car. Okay, keep going.
This content is good enough for like 6 songs.
Yeah.
So then, what happened?
Can you like cut out like all the true parts and just like put in all of the
I'm gonna mesh
so
this.
I look cool?
I'm gonna write this song in third person.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was pulled over. Was told my license was actually suspended again, but this time. They impounded my car. They took me, or they cuffed me. They put me in the back of the squad car. They took me to jail, and they put me in the orange jumpsuit.
Is the new black?
The cuffs that linked to your ankles, like full blown. Like, and I was like, what? I didn't understand what the fuck was going on. Like, I didn't. I didn't even have any of that.
Shut up, convict.
I got so scared right now when he started yelling. I was like, I'm sorry. Immediate. But so when they booked me, they had to, they asked me if I needed anything out of my car. And the only thing I could think of is I got bookings next week. I was like, can I take my gear bag? And they took it. And when they went through it, they were like, what is all of this? I was like, I'm a professional wrestler. And they're like, oh, some guy has seen, one of our deputies has seen or goes to wrestling shows every Friday in Indianapolis. And I knew exactly where that place was because I'd worked there before. So they booked me. I can't make bail because I'm an out-of-state resident. I was living in Kentucky at the time. They can't.
Why?
Because I was trying to get a job with TNA by working with OVW.
Okay, all right.
I remember that.
Worst
time
of my life.
Okay.
That run around.
That was rough. That was a rough time.
I'm waiting for the mugshot to come up.
Oh, do we have a mugshot? We got a mugshot.
Man,
why are you holding out?
Do you
have one?
I don't know if you can find it. I don't have it in my possession, but I'm sure it might be out there.
Whisper your name to him. So he's like,
Lebanon, Indiana.
I want to see this.
See if he can find it. But
meanwhile,
I knew where this promotion was that he was talking about. And he was like, luckily, he's not on duty today. And I was like, oh, thank God. So they put me in a cell with two other women that were not happy that I woke them up at 3 a.m. I got into the bunk and I had to wait for a bondsman because I couldn't afford bail. And this is another story I've never told on any podcast ever. So I don't think anybody even knew I went to jail.
I didn't.
I'm waiting to hear from my bail bondsman. It's late, obviously. And then they open the door and they look at me and I think they're going to tell me about my bail bondsman. And this deputy comes around the corner and goes, well, Heidi Loveless, how the hell are you? And I was like, oh, God, no. And I was like, well, been better. I can say that. And he was like, yeah, man, you ever come back to WCWO? And I was like,
what does that mean?
I it's going to really depend on how all this plays out. I'm not going to lie to you.
Well played.
And he was like, well, hope to see you there. And left. And then the guy's like, okay. And then closes the door. And I was like, what about? What?
Help?
And then so, yeah, shortly right after that, I got like released and found a bail bondsman and all that stuff. And
truth be told, I would have went back to WCWO in the red jumpsuit. Like, I would have done that gimmick, kept it going.
Yeah, no,
he's a believer now.
There was like 10 people at that show. I think they might still run. I don't know. But there's not a lot of people. They run every single Friday, and there's like,
oh, wow.
I love those places. You ever been, what was your rest story?
We all, my arrest story?
Yeah.
Oh, well, my arrest story. I was driving. I had my 99 Chrysler, and that thing was fly too. I just had the system put in that thing too. I was bumping 50 Cent. Lord knows I should have asked for it. Bumping 50 Cent driving on the street, but I was bumping Get Rich or Die Trying. Man, I was bumping. I was riding. Next thing you know, yeah, I'm like, oh, here we go. So my experiences, my feelings are kind of different. So I'm just like.
10 and 12.
10 and 12, that's it.
No dash. Beyond the stairwell. I'm just
like, okay, yes, officer, no officer. Yes, officer, no officer. So I'm like, you know, my license is suspended. I already knew it was.
Yeah.
You know, my thing, you know, I had to get to work. I didn't care. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, I'm sitting there. They take me. I'm like, so yeah, we got to take you to booking. Man, what? Yeah, so they took me in there. I got the cuffs on. I'm sitting in the back of the car. They calling my mama. I'm sitting there. I'm just like, hey, you got anybody? So I get my mom's number. I'm sitting in the back.
Call my mama.
Yeah, it's the only person. Only person number that I knew at the time. Plus, you know, I might have been under the influence of a plant. And, you know, so I was, you know, sitting there. And they took me to booking. And they was like, yeah, you have to pay $600 to be released. You can sit right here. But until you come up with $600.
Yeah.
My mom called yet. But that's it. Basically, I got the money.
That you wish you hadn't bought that system, huh?
Nope. And I guarantee I didn't bump that Get Rich or Die Trying on the way home. I was bumping Garth Brooks.
Hey, bro.
Quiet.
Ain't our priorities messed up?
Man, all messed up, bro.
I got roped off one time. Coming back. I was actually driving back from Los Angeles with my ex-girlfriend, who was a flight attendant, and we had to get back in time for her to make her flight. And, you know, El Paso has that border checkpoint, like 100 miles within the border.
Yeah.
And, man, I'm coming back from L.A., so, you know, I had some... I don't know how we get down on this podcast. But before you said a plant, I don't, you know. Okay. Man, I have some weed in the car.
Okay, I got you.
Man, cool. F it, man. I had
cool,
weed.
Bro. Cool.
Lord. So when we get there, the dogs alert on the car. And at first, I was like, man, that's a rental car, man. That's from L.A. You know, it's just legal out there. So it could have been anybody's. But my ex-girlfriend was a resident. She wasn't a citizen. And she had to get to work. And I just see the look on her face, and I'm like, man, if they take this girl in the back to have a conversation, we ain't talking no more. So now I cop to her. I see, yeah, that was my, it wasn't much. It was just, you know. But while I'm sitting in there, the lieutenant, little fat Mexican dude with his bars, and he comes walking through, and I see him eyeing me down. I'm like, here go this dude. He sits down at the computer and starts tapping away, and he's looking at me and he's looking at the screen, and I'm like, here we go. A few minutes later, he comes over and he goes, MVP. How you doing, man? And I'm like, obviously I'm not doing too well. And he goes, oh, man, don't worry, man. You're good. They're going to come write you a ticket. You'll be out of here in a little while. He goes, man, you're not the only guy that's been here. Sabu's been here. RVD's been here. So at that point, I was like, well, I'm in good company.
Yeah.
And it was, I think, a $500 fine and a waste of about 2 or 3 hours that I had to sit there. So.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That's a cool story.
So we're going to take it back to Ruby. We're going to go back into the wrestling realm a little bit.
Okay.
So when did you wait? Around what year was it you first got it into NXT?
Into NXT,
mm-hmm.
I got hired in January of 2017. My first day was my birthday. Actually.
Really?
Interesting. Cool.
Yeah, that was a great birthday. Really cool.
Pow!
Pow!
That's not the mugshot I was looking for, but I'll take it.
Hey, they had the thing on the wraps.
There it is.
You had to go through some encryption codes to get that picture. But yeah. Talk
so
about this day, first of
so
all.
So hopeful. Look at that girl. She's just so hopeful.
Hopeful.
And she's just happy to be there. Because, like, so obviously, like, you know, the dream is always to get here.
Yeah.
Like, this is the top, you know. But I didn't, that wasn't even a fathomable idea for me. Like,
yeah.
I was like, I am not what they hire. So I know that's just not even, like, I didn't even, like I try to even look at it because I just knew that I was not the type of girl that they hired.
Do you think that's the reason why you get this opportunity?
Maybe
because you're not what the typical thing is.
And I think I was just one of my things I say all the time. I was in the right place at the right time. Very true. Like, this is a time for women that is the most empowering time, because we're, you know, we're changing things. We're showing you different kinds of women that come from all different kinds of walks of life. And it's an amazing time to be a women's wrestler. But coming up, that's not what I saw. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't see women like me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I did see, like, Lita had, like, you know, she was alternate. She had tattoos and stuff. But, like, she was also still, she was gorgeous. And she, like, I don't know. Like, I just.
She could actually wrestle.
Yeah, and she could go. And, like, I love that. But, like, I just didn't think, for me, I was like, I'm a small town kid from Indiana. Like, who would want to, like, you know what I mean? In a division full of, like, women who are, like, these gorgeous supermodel kind of girls. Like, it just wasn't me. And I also am not going to lie. I'm not good at trying to be sexy. I don't know how to say that without just outright saying it. It's just not something that organically comes across. When I work for OVW, like, obviously, when it was with TNA.
I don't know. She's pretty sexy to me.
Aw, stop. Yeah. He's so nice. But, like, when I worked, like, they were having me wear, like, you need to wear tighter clothing. You need to stop wrestling like,
I've heard those.
Like men with boobs. That was what I was told. Stop wrestling like men with boobs. And I was like, what do you want me to wrestle like? Wrestle like a woman.
I remember those.
Like, what are you, what does that mean? Like, I was trained, the way I was trained, my trainer, Billy Brock, taught me. With the boys.
Work like an athlete.
Like you belong in there. Yeah, like that's it. Like, work like you would with everybody. Like, you don't, I wrestled intergender wrestling. I wrestled men and I wrestled women. And like, I get the disdain for it. I get it. But like,
I've done it,
you know what I mean? Like, I think that if you can convince whoever your opponent is, like, to just treat you as like a smaller competitor, and like, we tell that same story. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you're doing your job as a performer. You know, you like, you don't look at, you look at me as a small performer, not as a woman. Like, because I'm weaker, because I'm a different sex. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Well, there's that whole biology thing, but you know.
Yeah, see, then you said something nice to me, and then you go and say something like,
"I'm a heel."
You heard my stories, Waffle House.
Waffle House.
Come on, but.
But, like, I just didn't think it was possible. And then, you know,
what I noticed, well, this is all the things that I come, like, I always, like, see every component to the roster. Mm-hmm. Like, this person provides this. This person provides this. These two, like, cancel out each other. Mm-hmm. That right there provides something.
We just you know, one working, beautiful
everything
machine.
Is a piece that provides something. Mm-hmm. Even if it's three of one kind, mm-hmm. all those three provide something to this. And from this, just from seeing you, boom, to where you are now, you inspire the Shotzi Blackhearts to come up in the next, the next NXT talent.
You're an innovator.
You know, that's something like, man, this archetype works. You prove that. Lita proved that in early 2000s.
Yeah, for sure.
99s, 2000s. Yeah. You proved that in 2017 that this works, you know? Yeah. So now Shotzi's going to prove it in 2020. Yeah. So are you in main roster and all that stuff. So there's an evolution of that. So what I'm going to ask you about, like, do you see yourself in leadership roles to NXT, the Performance Center, the girls down there now? Do you see yourself, like, communicating with them much, giving them some of the advice that you went through? Things changed, of course, from when you were there to what it is now.
Well, I was honestly, like I said, my whole career has been right place, right time. I was honestly only in NXT for 9 months.
Yeah, I remember this.
I was hired. My first day at NXT was January 9th. And then I was called up on November 21st of that same year.
Very fast.
And that was when the Riot Squad debuted. And
Riot Squad. To call the Riot Squad.
But so I didn't have as much experience in NXT as I would have liked. As much as I was very happy with the position that I was in, like, I would have never said no to it. I was really happy with it. There's a camaraderie in NXT that I can see and I can feel when I'm there, that, like, y'all are just like, you know what I mean? Like, you're proving something. It was a familiar feeling. It was like, you know, it wasn't, I don't want to compare it to the indies, but like, it's that indie camaraderie of like, we're here, like, we're proving it day in, day out that we're doing this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was this grind that I just, I loved. And I, that's one thing I do. I'm I'm sad that I missed out on a little bit. But as far as being a leader, if anybody like approaches me and like asks me questions, I will always answer to the best of my ability. But like, if you know me personally, I don't know why, and I don't know if it's because like I held some of my veterans to such a high standard that like I don't feel like I am what you would call a veteran. And I also have only been with WWE for 4 years, when there are other women that have been there longer, even though I've been wrestling technically longer, but WWE is its own entity. So you know what I mean? Like I don't carry myself, I feel like a veteran.
Yeah.
To anyone, and I don't know, like I feel like that's helped me and hurt me and different occasions. I feel like it's gotten me treated a little bit like a rookie sometimes, and I feel like that's also shown, you know, I'm humble, you know, in a sense. Right. In a sense, like I guess I don't know if that's what like, you know, I don't know.
I think advice and like
If I'm asked for it, but I don't unsolicited advice.
I understand that, but it's still perception.
Mm-hmm.
Like I always look at like the best advice comes from different perceptions of things.
Yeah,
you know, I'm still going to ask you about a lot of things,
right?
And I'm not even, like I dabble in main roster with 205 Live, but I'm not entrenched in the Raw, SmackDown, the locker room. But there's still a lot for me to take from you with your perception of how things move.
Right.
I've never been to like a WrestleMania. You've been on one, you know. That's different perception. Yeah. So there's things to take from that. It is.
I'm giving her some big ups right now. Yeah.
So she's in my eyes, you're my veteran.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Look at that. I want a picture like that someday, and I want to work to have that.
Everybody want to know? That was super cool. This moment was super cool. I tapped out to Ronda in 2 minutes. At this exact pay-per-view, but one of my favorites, so it's a gear.
That is hard.
The next night, I was like feeling kind of like, I was happy, I was excited, I was on Elimination Chamber, but like, you know, I tapped out in 2 minutes. Like, I was a little bummed. The next night, I main evented Raw with Ronda and had one of my favorite matches that I've ever had on
Boom.
The roster.
Hey, shout out one time for the exploited patch. Yeah. One time for Waddy.
Yeah.
See, he... You
know. One time for Waddy. Yeah.
Catches all that. But man, like,
I don't know. Yeah.
I would consider you a veteran. You're one of my veterans.
That is bonkers to hear. I need to.
It is, right? Right?
Like you saying that to me after like I've come to you on the indies and been like, hey man, we watched my match. Like
I'm like, who was you watching?
For you to say that to me is mind blowing. Because like I'm still that weird girl from Indiana. Like, that's always going to be me. So I can't see myself as that. So when other people do, like, when I was hurt, I came to the Performance Center to do rehab and to get cleared and everything. And Sarah had me sit down with the class and was like, hey, what do you think that we can do better to prepare people for, like, you know what I mean? Like, to go to Raw or SmackDown. Like, what do you think? And, like, everyone's looking at me and watching me,
they want that dish, that scoop.
I don't
they
want like
that. Feed us.
I don't even like the fact that all those people were paying attention to me at the same time is mind blowing. I'm like, I don't. Oh my god! And like, I said what I could, you know what I mean? But it's a weird role for me to even try and get comfortable.
But that's a position though that
you're going to be placed in.
It happens. Mm-hmm. You grow into it. You don't say, okay, I'm a locker room leader. Just one day you look around and I went through this. You just look around and you're like, oh, I'm the oldest person here. Yeah. I'm the most experienced person here. And you know, it's not. It's one of those things that the people who want to be leaders don't need to be leaders.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who just naturally emerge as leaders.
Yep.
I mean, being a veteran, as we know from working on the indies, you've got that person that works one match a month for 15 years. And brother, I've been around 15 years. And but you've had a few dozen matches. You know, you're working every weekend, 3-4 shots, and you're going. That veteranship is one of those things that's defined by experience and presence, and it's like it's a thing you grow into.
Yeah. My dad always told me that, like, you know, if you have to say you're something, then you're not that something.
Yeah.
So like, if you have to say, "Hey, I'm a leader," like, no, you, if you have to tell me, then you're really not. Like, you know what I mean? You gotta show me. And like I've always kind of like felt that way like, about like I don't.
How long you been rapping?
Man, 16 years.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you'd ask Lil Nas X for some advice though.
Yeah, like anybody who's at a certain point.
Certain level of
certain
success.
Level, yeah,
sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I don't.
He perceives the business
it's
in a
respect
different way.
Too. Like you know, you respect somebody's
you respect
work.
Somebody,
you respect
you know,
somebody's work, no matter.
I would ask Lil Nas X to just do us all a favor and never make another song again. That's what I would.
No, do a song, but let me be featured in it.
Well, there's
some to get from it.
Hey, man. Garbage sells, man. It's popular.
Hey, but if I'm the hotness on that garbage, I mean, I take these.
I was just saying, you take the payday. Take the payday. I get it.
I think you take the opportunities when you get it.
I don't know what's happening right now.
I like you, Lil Nas X.
I don't. I don't know the guy. I just don't care for the music.
I actually met him.
I mean, he might be a great guy, so I'm not disparaging the guy, but the music is just like, that's painful for him.
But also, too, it's a good. It's
Old Town Road.
It brings
Old Town Road.
A good point, though. And what you said.
That thing slapped, look at that. I'm going to ask him where he got the hat.
I'm so sorry, but I don't like that song.
That thing slapped. It's got the remix on right here.
But the there's so many like weird.
Yes, it slaps my eardrums with its offensiveness. Yes.
It hits my but like I don't mean this in any disrespect. Yeah, vocals, most country hits my ears wrong. Most country, not all.
Right.
Most country like hits my ears wrong, and I can't hear it.
Funny thing, we talked about this before, and heard this before. Would you say he's appropriating country?
The country that music fans song, have made that argument.
That particular song, I
country
I
music fans it? Have made. Well, isn't that why Billy Ray Cyrus had to get on the remix with him because they were saying that's not country, so they kicked it off.
They wouldn't qualify this as a country song until Billy Ray Cyrus got on it. Then it got qualified in the country hits. Then it became a number one country song.
So it was already number one, and then it made number one again.
So at that point, Billy Ray is the one who gets to decide. Whether or not something's
but would you say he's a
no? I don't think he gets to decide as much as him being a country music artist validated this as a country song.
Okay.
So I guess the opposite would be if, and I'm just throwing this out here, I'm trying to spitball. If Toby Keith made a rap song and people go, "Nah, that's not hip hop," and Nas came on and said, "Nah, I'm gonna do a verse with you. We gonna get this on the rap charts."
Yeah. Now, would that be that would to a lot of everybody who's the fans of hip hop? They say he's appropriating our music,
cultural appropriation.
Right? Would he be appropriating country?
Well, the question with all that to me is it appropriation or is it embracing? You know, like
there's two sides of that.
Yeah. How do you define where does appropriation end and embracing begin? You know, everything is a little bit appropriated, has a little bit of appropriation in it. You know, like. How do you? I don't know. When I hear that argument, like I get it and I understand it, but that's a great.
But I also want to know the inspiration behind it. You know what I mean? Was it inspired by country? If it was, like that's where,
exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
and there's no way to actually tell that until unless he says.
There's a lot of blurred lines and things that naturally give
blurred lines.
A good
I know you want me.
Sorry. A lot of feeling. Anything that like invokes a feeling, like wrestling, music, it's a lot of like blurred lines in, you know, like, in those statements.
Was Jimmy Wang Yang appropriating cowboys?
Yeah, was he appropriating country? No, Jimmy Wang Yang was cashing a paycheck. What do you want me to do? You got it, and that was the end of that.
I ain't mad at it. So, to piggyback off what I was asking Ruby, in your retirement, were you seeing a lot of talent that you would say you, younger talent on the independents and even in the locker room today, that you feel like you have like a connection with, that you see like, okay, you relate to this person a little bit as far as like the next upcoming talent and core guys?
Oh man, I'm glad you. Smart guy. Perfect opportunity for me to put him over a little bit. See how he did that? Serve that up?
I saw it.
He's done this before.
So 26.
Well, I'll say this now, and I've said this to you before, and I'll say this to everybody watching. We had an opportunity to work together in Defy. And people who know me know that Seattle is one of my favorite cities. I love the Emerald City. I love the people. I love the vibe. I love Alki Beach. I love Queen Anne. I love it. Love that area.
Great city.
And when I got a chance to work at Defy, I had heard about Defy, heard about the fans, heard about the venue, and I had spoken to help me out.
Matt Farmer.
Matt Farmer. Thank you. Matt Farmer.
Love you, Matt.
And I told Matt, man, I'd really like to work with Swerve. And he said, man, we'd like to have you do that. We go, yeah, man, let's do it. Let's make it happen. And he even sweetened up the deal. He didn't have to, but I am a huge fan of Steely Dan. If anybody in here doesn't know Steely Dan, you know Steely Dan from hip hop, from samples, but you just don't know.
Yeah, very true.
So
absolutely,
they hooked me up. Matt Farmer arranged for me to get tickets to the Key Arena to see Steely Dan and the Doobie Brothers before our match. I think it was like a Thursday, and then we worked was like Friday or something. Yeah.
Hold on, Michael McDonald was with him?
No, Michael McDonald wasn't with him. I kept waiting, hoping he would walk out from the back. He came from somewhere back in long ago. But we had one of my absolute favorite matches. And I'm at the point in my career where I can say now I have had thousands of matches. But the match that we had that night was without question one of my favorite matches. I watched it back a few times and I was like, damn, I had fun. It was exciting. We told a great story.
That's me learning a lesson.
Boy, what I tell you about that shoulder tackle ain't gonna work.
If I'm not mistaken, I think I ate a kick right after that.
I'm pretty sure.
I think I ate a kick. I've seen this happen before. And he said, I'm not gonna let this old mom talk to me like this.
You have veins sticking out your head right here.
Oh, yeah. He fired up. He was fired up. But the beauty of it was when it was all said and done, when the match was finished, I said then to the Defy audience, I said, man, you know, the clock is ticking. I know my time is coming near, but I can say right now, as I get ready to leave this business, the business is in very, very good hands with guys like Shane Strickland. You know, as I was saying earlier, your aptitude, you study, you make mistakes, but when those mistakes are brought to your attention, you correct those mistakes. You push yourself. And there are guys, like I remember Ricochet. Mm. I used to say all the time, man, if he would just slow down and figure out a little bit more psychology and not do this just because he can. And I watched his maturity. And you know, and that match that I saw you guys have at a company who I won't mention their name because I'm not trying to put them over. I said, like, man, I watched both of the maturity in you guys as you were coming along, being from indie-rific guys that could do gravity-defying ish to storytellers. So, not saying that you weren't before, but there's levels to everything.
Right.
So, you know, you look back at your work from a few years ago that you thought, man, I'm spitting. And you go back and you go, yeah, that wasn't as good as I thought it
absolutely.
Was.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You go back and you look at matches that you had when you thought, oh, man, this is a, and then you go, ooh, I wouldn't do that.
Why was that? What was I thinking?
Absolutely.
Or was my headspace?
What in the hell were you doing?
Do you have a match like that?
Oh, God, I have so many. Most of my indie matches I watched, and I was like, what? Like,
why?
Being here, especially, like, and learning from some of the greatest of all time changes your perception of what you thought was cool.
Yeah.
And, like, what you thought made sense. And, like, worrying about if it made sense because I didn't really do that.
Stop and think about this. And this is what I try to tell some of the young guys sometimes. Like, you can do amazing things, and that's awesome. But is that amazing thing that you're doing going to get an emotional commitment from the audience? Bray Wyatt does not wrestle anymore. Bray Wyatt entertains.
Mm-hmm.
Bray Wyatt has become a rich man with characters.
Yeah.
Bray Wyatt can't do a 450.
Talk.
But man, that give him the mic and let him be his and people want to see that.
Yep.
When I came back as a producer and I got to do a few indie loops, his entrance, the people wanted to see the entrance.
They
wanted to see the Fiend. They wanted to see bit, 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 bam, boom, say goodnight, it's over. That's all they wanted. And I thought, damn. right?
Ooh, it's so
what,
good.
What the crazy thing was, is like, especially when I started doing 205 and coming up to on the road with everybody, I loved waiting till the last. I was the last person left to leave. I loved it because I got to see Bray, and I got to also, like, everybody's gone, everybody's busy or was busy, and everybody's, like, already on the road to the next town. I can talk to him now. Mm-hmm. He's not busy. There's no producers. There's no writers, like, on him. Now, like, I'm going to ask him something. Roman, I get to, like...
Dude, that's one of the biggest changes from when I was here last time till now. Yeah. When I was here the first go-around, you had to stay and watch the main event.
Yeah.
There was no leaving early. Mm-hmm. You know, your ass better be in there watching Taker work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You
better be in there watching John Cena and Randy Orton.
I loved that. And I still, to this day, love that. I'm like, oh, I get to see... Like, especially I already went, and now I get to sit and, like, really watch. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like... And sometimes I get to, like, get back and, like, look at the atmosphere I'm in right now. And I'm watching this here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I belong in here too. It's not like, oh, this is a guest pass to get back here. Yeah. That don't count. That's cheating.
You work here.
I belong here.
Dude, the progression, as you know, because you've done it, and as you're going, I remember very clearly being at home. My ex-wife was the biggest Undertaker fan. She would get hyped. She didn't even like wrestling till I started doing it. And then she was questioning, why do you want to do this? To jumping up and down. Oh, Undertaker! You don't get that excited at my matches. But, when that gong would hit and the lights go out and you get the goosebumps and you're like, oh, there it is. Fast forward to now I'm a developmental. And very different from the Performance Center how it was. You know. But if it was within 300 miles, WWE shows in 300 miles, we had to make the drive to the show. We had to go. And I remember the first time being in the building, standing in the back, when the lights went out and gong, like the goosebumps, like, oh, that's a damn.
One sound got people's reaction out of their seats. That is power.
It's the moment that music hits, that gong hits.
And
the eruption that happens immediately after. Yep. Lights go out, that happens, and there's nothing.
Now I'm
going
to fast forward
feeling.
One more time to going from being at home watching, from being in the back watching, to standing in the ring when the lights go out and the gong hits. That progression. Every night I got goosebumps. Yeah. Every night.
I love
and
that.
To your point, I belong here?
Yeah. You belong there.
The dead man's coming for me?
It's not an accident. Oh,
like, this isn't, I made it. I'm here. That's we dress in the same locker room. This is my peer.
This is who you belong there.
You're here for a reason. Yeah. You did what you had to do. People said, I can make money with her. You've been given an opportunity. When you stand in that ring, you're a WWE superstar. Mm-hmm. And to make that journey from Elkhart, Indiana, to Madison Square Garden.
That's crazy, man.
It's time to take it to TZ's table, where you can have some fun with these lovely guests of the evening.
I'm going to get through this. So tell me, you know, when you guys are on your road trips and you're on that long car ride to the next town, what music do you have to have in your car? What's that car ride music?
Uh-oh. It's about to get good now.
Yeah, I
would like first to hear this answer.
Yeah, what's the car ride music? You're on that trip. You got that 3-hour drive.
Because we speak about music most of the time. You are the most varied person that likes all of sorts of music.
Yeah,
that I've ever met.
And that's why I would say the car ride music would depend on who I'm riding in the car with. And because
so you're nice about it.
Well, I mean, no, we're gonna listen to some of my issues too.
Okay.
But I'm not gonna hijack the car. No. But I like all kinds of music.
True.
So if I'm riding in the car with you and someone else, then like, hey man, you take the wheel for a while, you run it. You know, like, riding with younger guys, I don't like a lot of the newer rap music. I'm shaking my, you kids don't know good music. I'm that guy. But I have young dudes that put me up. Oh, man, have you heard this guy? You know, so I'm cool. Let's ride and put me up on some new stuff. Yeah. You know, I just learned about the Flatbush Zombies a couple of years ago. You know, so I'm like, okay, some of this new stuff is good. You know, like, so when it comes to car music, I got what I like, but I like a little bit of what everybody likes. Mm-hmm. So I can
there's
get
something
along.
There, and, yeah, in every yeah. genre.
Absolutely. So what is it? What is it about? I have to ask you this as well. What is it about that the music that has changed as you? Or, you know, you probably grew up on the Pox and the Biggies and stuff like that. What
Rakim, man.
Rakim's, okay, Rakim's.
God MC.
And Kane and them, right? So that time, Coogee Rap, that time, okay. So what is...
Gave my man power for $4 an hour. Took my time. I wrote rhymes in the shower. That cool G. Okay, I'm sorry.
You sound like Dolomite right now.
He's the one that set it off.
So, what is it? What do you feel is the disconnect? Is it just what the young guys are talking about now? Or?
Yeah. And here's the point where I'm gonna be because we had garbage content then too. You had garbage.
Yeah, it was trash in '96 too. We not
gonna
do that.
You had all kinds of garbage. You had garbage.
Yeah, it's been garbage from '79. In 2019, I do this 16 years. I know what I'm talking about.
But the garbage then was like fat boys talking about burgers and stuff like that. That was like the garbage.
But see, even though the fat boys were garbage, they were groundbreaking because at that point there was nothing like it. Nobody was doing that. Nobody had heard of a human beatbox and dudes rapping about how much they like to eat. It was groundbreaking and it was new. So there were people that this rap stuff is garbage in general. But at that point, you're talking to me, man. When rap wasn't on the radio, there was no rap. There was no rap station. On the black station, you heard on Saturday, they played a few rap songs on the radio.
I remember that.
Prior to that, there was none. So this, I guess a lot of the stuff, and I'm old, man. But I mess with Ricochet sometimes, you know, with his tight-ass clothes.
You know? As you must.
And I'm like, dog, I come from the Wu-Tang generation. You know, we were bad. My generation rapped about selling drugs and killing people. Your generation raps about taking drugs and killing yourself. I can't empathize, you know? Like, I don't... I can't really... That kind of throws me off a little bit, you know? Not that killing people and selling drugs is good, but if I had to make a choice between selling drugs and killing people or taking drugs and killing myself, you know, I'm gonna just
rap about being broke. Because that's what I knew.
Ooh, my favorite thing was Ricochet and his tight ass clothes.
He's like, hold on, we are not going to zoom past Ricochet and tight clothes.
It's tight ass. We're not going to get past. So yeah, I'm in the lyrics, I'm in the flow.
I got you, man.
You know, I like content.
That's why I like that.
Make me think
of
different
genres, questions like that to see where their ear is at and why they feel the way they feel about that. Also, too, give me guys some of your favorite albums. Send me from your favorite either bands, hip hop artists. What are some of the go to albums you guys have?
Okay, so I'm gonna be straight up with you. I love. Punk rock is my deal.
That's your
anybody,
thing. Okay.
Anybody knows me knows I love punk. But I am always nervous. This is something no one knows. I'm always nervous to talk about punk with other people, particularly people that are punks. Because while punk rock means, you know, freedom to me and means, you know, anti-establishment and just and is so powerful to me. And I do feel like it means, like, let's accept each other and just, like, you know, tear this up. I'm so sorry I cursed. But, like, I'm going to say exactly how Sami Zayn said it one time. I don't consider myself a punk. I'm a professional wrestler who likes punk music. Because there's kind of, not a hierarchy, I would say, but, like, there's kind of, like, a classification of what makes you a punk.
Yeah.
And there are different people who can decide whether or not, like, I didn't start listening to punk music until I was 19 years old.
Would you describe it as, like, okay, I like gangster rap, but I'm not a gangster?
It's like, same thing. Like, I think all music genres, maybe, I don't know.
Because you're punk as fuck.
I feel like anybody can be a punk, you know what I mean? I feel like... I'm trying to think of a good example, like, you know, Johnny Cash was a punk, you know what I mean? Like,
punk is a state of mind.
Yeah, and that's
like, yeah, bring me into your world.
Freddie Mercury was a punk. He was not what the societal norm wanted him to be. He broke out and he made some beautiful music contradictory to what other people wanted him to be. And to me, that's what punk is. And like, to me, that's what I want to, like, I feel and like my emotions that I have behind it, but it doesn't, because I don't know. So like when we talked about the Bad Brains, Robbie Brookside introduced me to the Bad Brains
Brookside.
When I first got here. That man is Punk Yoda.
Yeah, yes.
He
yeah,
can
yes.
tell you yeah, yes. where any punk band is from, where they derive from, when their first album dropped, everything and anything.
And he's probably seen them.
Yeah, 100%. And somebody was around when they, I hadn't heard of the Bad Brains. Somebody was around when they asked me, they're like, they made me feel bad because I didn't know who the Bad
Brains As you were. Should.
You don't know who the Bad Brains, like, and like, I hate that feeling. Ooh. They're awesome. They're awesome.
Like they,
they're like,
before.
But they
look
like,
familiar.
That's the thing. Like,
but that's not the Bad Brains. That's one of the versions of, but that's not the original. That's Daryl. That's Earl. I don't know who that is. I think that might be Joseph Ibe, who came in as a singer for a while, and I don't know. Maybe he might have been playing the drums for a bit. I don't know.
That's
but
HR.
That's not HR.
No,
that's not HR at all. What they look like. And I don't know. Daryl cut his dreads, so I don't know what the hell's going on right there.
I just
but
know what they sound
but
like.
Bad Brains for history, like that's not find. If you can find the album cover, Eye Against Eye. You'll see, or Quickness. You'll see a good Quickness. Find a Quickness album cover. You'll see what they look like. But my introduction to this music was I used to work with a guy who was a skinhead, and he was the one that taught me about the skinhead culture. And it's like, it's, all skinheads aren't Nazis. They're not all. You know, I didn't know anything about this. Mm-hmm. He used to give me a ride home, and it was his car, his music. So I had to listen to, you know, old school New York City hardcore. At that time, that just sounded to me like just some dude screaming over a guitar. And like, what? Well, you ride with somebody long enough and you got to listen to this music. After a little while, you find yourself kind of bopping your head, or you find yourself going like, oh yeah, I know that. I kind of like this song. The Exploited, that patch she had.
Yeah.
The first song I ever heard from The Exploited, I'm riding with Wes, and just to give you an idea of like punk, I hear this guy say, you're going to have to bleep this out, but I hear this guy say, I dedicate this song to thee, Jello Biafra, because I fucked his wife. It's called I Hate You. I Hate You. I Hate You. And at that moment, I went, I get that.
I'm in it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. There we go. That's the boys right there.
Okay.
That's HR, legendary front man. That's his brother, Earl, plays the drums. That's Daryl on the bass. And Dr. No, Gary Miller on the guitar. These dudes are from Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Ooh. And they played jazz fusion.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
They got into punk before it was punk. They're the godfathers of American punk.
Mm.
So my boy Wes, at that time, you know, I'm Eric B. and Rakim, and I'm Public Enemy. And I'm he goes, yeah, well, let me put you on to something.
Like, you thought they was on.
And I'm like, these are black dudes? Just, you know. Mm. But their albums, because they are Rastafarians. They embrace Rastafarianism. So they'll have one song that we're talking about where it's Riot Squad! And then the next song is 4-4 Rasta Reggae. I love Ijah. So their imprint on American music, there's not a rock band alive that doesn't revere them. And as far as the American punk scene, they're the godfathers of that. So people don't even know as far as punk. Oh, man, you into that issue, man? You know how they got the name the Bad Brains? Because, man, y'all play that? Y'all, you got some bad brains, man. Something's wrong with y'all, man.
Okay.
You know what their original name was?
Mind Power. Yeah. Mind Power. See?
I don't know.
There's a reason why these two are the guests.
I don't know.
Together.
Yeah, it's just...
But to your point, I want to say this one thing. Fine. I understand exactly what you're talking about because I love this music.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't consider myself punk, and I have people come up to me, yo, MVP, I heard you're a hardcore kid.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I consider myself a hardcore kid.
Mm-hmm.
I love the music. I still go to shows. You know, I'm agnostic front. We talking about my boys, you know.
Oh, that's so cool.
But I wouldn't call myself a hardcore kid. I wouldn't say I'm punk. So I understand exactly what you're saying.
And it's like, it's a fine line, but like, I think it can go back to like what we were talking about earlier, where I feel like it's one of those things where you, like, if you have to say I'm something, then you're not something.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I feel like with punk, like you can just look at somebody and be like, that's a punk. there. You know what I mean? Sorry.
But don't say that in Florida because it has a different meaning.
Apparently, we learned that.
There's a lot of things we can't do in Florida as it is.
A lot of things we can do.
But yeah, so we're going to wrap it up, man. We've already, like,
killed off
the camera. Two cameras, man.
Content, man. That's added value.
I love it. If we got battery life, I keep let you keep talking. But, you know.
Here all day.
This is true. Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. But, yeah, so it was wonderful having y'all two here.
Thanks,
it was awesome.
Man, it was a good time.
We had more notes, but we never get through all of them.
Nah, we have extra
on
just
let the conversation flow, right?
Yeah, that's what we do, because y'all conversationalists. You might not say you are. You are. And then there's the God, the GOAT, the greatness, MVP. Better introduction?
I'll take that. I like that. I like GOAT.
That
was mine.
That was mine. You, the trailblazer. Oh,
God. The innovator.
Yeah, the innovator.
Oh, no, I got
the new veteran.
Bet that I know.
The veteran.
Damn.
Yeah. The comeback story of the year. Two bad shoulders. Now holding them both up in victory. I like it.
And in that picture right there, she looks like she's asking for lunch money. She looks like, hey, you know what time it is.
Yeah.
Right?
They gonna cash you on Mean Girls 4.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
But yeah, so tell everybody where they can find you, what's going on with you, if you got new YouTube content.
I do. Yeah, I started up a YouTube channel. It is called Hooligans Unite.
I like that name.
Yeah. Actually, one of my favorite punk bands, Rancid, their tribute album is called Hooligans United. So I did Hooligans Unite because I love
Shout out to the Old Firm Casuals.
Yes. Oh, my God. So good.
One time for Lars.
And also Lars Fredriksson for letting me do that gear that one time in Elimination Chamber.
Oh, that was dope.
Thank you. I just started that YouTube channel, and we're doing donations for every month. We pick a different organization. I'm working with a company called Punk Rock Saves Lives, and we're doing donations and charity and stuff for different causes this month because it is Pride Month. I'm wearing Sonya Deville's shirt. It's Pride Month. We're doing donations to the Trevor Project. So, and then we're just doing, gonna try and have some fun. I'm gonna try and figure out how technology works because I'm bad at it.
If you don't delegate,
yes, I've been learning all kinds of stuff.
Secret
and
to being a good
Twitter
manager.
And Instagram and all that stuff is at Ruby Riot WWE. Can I find you?
You can find me.
Find me.
I am at the 305 MVP on Twitter and Instagram. I think I got like a Facebook fan page, but I don't really mess with that. Chris Rock had a really good joke a long time ago. He said they came out with an app that'll tell you which one of your friends are racist. It's called Facebook. I don't mess with it, but yeah,
it's working more
than
ever right now.
Instagram at the 305 MVP, Twitter at the 305. Oh, I have a website, the305mvp.com.
Yes,
yeah, I got some
nasal strips.
Damn, that's a good picture. Damn.
Why don't you do that? Why are you selling nasal strips?
You know what? WWE, damn. Hey, you know, Main Event gear, by the way. Main Event gear. They've been making my gear my entire career. Shout out to Adam Roberts, Robert Adams.
Can I
that's dope. I need that as an 8x10, man, because I still got some indie dates I have to fulfill. I still got some.
Are there any indies right now?
Well, when we come back though.
Okay.
I have commitments. I got deposits.
Oh.
I got deposits. Yeah.
This is true.
And I have a deal in that I'm, you know, like, hey, MVP, you keep your word, finish out your dates. So, you know, I will be doing a few more indies. Mm-hmm. And can I just clear up one last thing and I'm done? I never said I retired. I never said that. Everyone, didn't you retire? I never retired. I never said I retired. I said I was retiring this year. That's been postponed due to COVID. Mm-hmm. I said after my match on Monday Night Raw, after the Royal Rumble, that at that point, that was my last WWE match. because at that point I thought it was. And then I got offered a job as a producer, and then they started putting more stuff on my plate.
You got good at your job. Then they
said, so Earth thing. So card subject to change.
Career subject to change.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's always a thing.
That should be a t-shirt right there.
Hey, career subject to change. Yeah. That is a good t-shirt. I like that. Hey.
We over here at Sports City Podcast, we make things happen. We make your dreams happen. And now I'm making content happen. So you just saw Ruby Riott and MVP on the show. Subscribe, youtube.com/SourceCityPodcast, and pledge on the Patreon, patreon.com/YouTube.com/SourceCityPodcast.
You got it.
I was doing all right. You do something.
Follow me at TZ Scott, man. Yeah. I got new music out, so, you know.
He do. What was the new track?
You know, Black Boy is out right now, speaking on the current things that are, you know, happening in the world right now. We have some content coming out speaking on some things that are happening in the world right now. So, you know, I believe the way I was taught, if there's something going on in the world and you're a musician, it's best you speak on it.
Talk about it.
And that's my responsibility as an artist. And we both feel that as a responsibility as artists, as a group. So stay tuned for that and the content that's dropping on that. You can get Black Boy on all iTunes, digital markets right now. You can get our album from Humble Beginnings.
Boys, and the man who put it together.
Mr. Gil X, if they ain't seen you, bro.
Sit down.
Yeah, man. This guy has done all our lyric videos. Yes. This right here is now on all digital markets. Make sure you guys go cop that. Video is directed, shot, cut by him. And this guy did an amazing job on the video. I'm super proud. All our lyric videos, he has cooked them up. He has been a great addition to the squad, and I'm glad Swerve brought him. I agreed to bring him on. This guy is amazing right here.
And man, he has on a dope-ass t-shirt.
Oh, right, hey. I said that when I saw him.
Love, man. What's your social media, man? Plug your own.
At All The X on Twitter, Instagram, All The X Visuals. And those are about all of them. There is Facebook, too, but I don't have no clue what that is. That's just my name.
For one scene.
And check out the album coming, right? Fall.
Absolutely. Album's coming in the fall. Erica's Son coming in the fall. But we...
And Swerve City album 2.
Album 2.
The Holidays.
We are already cooking up. Oh. We already have an album cooking up.
When is that?
Holidays. Just the holidays. Just look out on the holidays.
The holidays.
Yeah, yeah. Fall, we got TZ, Erica's Son, and we got Swerve City album 2. Holidays.
Woo!
Holidays. I didn't even tell him.
I might not tell you this. We might put it out together. Like the Love Below and Stankonia. How about that?
Double disc? Hey, it's been a while, but I'll give you 16.
We got the body right there.
I'll give you 16. It's been a little while, but
the studio right there.
Bro. I'll dust the pen off.
Hey,
that's it.
I want it.
The pen's been sharper than ever. And as always, be confident in everything you do.
Wash your ass.
Or you're going to get a pop.
Miss you, Ariel. Swole. Jose.